What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I guess like any term that's used and thrown around all the time, it is subject to definition and redefinition. It's always good to clarify. If you say I'm pro-life, it's always good to be able to clarify exactly what you mean by I'm pro-life. And of course, to different people, that does mean different things. But there ought to be a definition that is the gold standard. Well, some are proposing a new gold standard for the definition of pro-life. And they're proposing it in the form of, well, you know, just acknowledging the intrinsic value of the unborn and life from beginning to end isn't enough. There have to be something else in that definition. Joining us to evaluate the new definition of pro-life is Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute, author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture, a recent column for the Gospel Coalition, What Does It Mean to Be Pro-Life, and for Town Hall, The Essential Pro-Life Argument, Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
I first heard this objection, golly, from abortion supporters.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what's happened now is people on our side who ought to know better have bought the premise of our critics that because you oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being in the womb, you are therefore responsible to take on and address every societal ill from hunger to sex trafficking to the homeless situation, to the refugee crisis, to the opiate crisis, and the list just goes on and on and on. And I'm reminded of the quote from Frederick the Great where he said, he who fights everywhere fights nowhere. And what we have here, Todd, is an attempt to bankrupt the pro-life movement, to demand that we take our scarce resources and spread them even thinner, fighting every injustice under the sun.
So you have a illustration of a young man, Joe, who heroically saves a young woman from a burning building. Take us through that illustration to show the how ridiculous this new definition of pro-life ultimately is.
Well, imagine a guy who bursts into a building that's an inferno. Nobody else will go inside. And he knows that there's a six-year-old girl in there. And he goes through the flames where no one else will. He finds her in the upstairs closet. And he takes the only escape he's got open to him, which is out the second-story window and into the bushes below. He lives, the girl lives, but he's got a couple of broken ankles and some cuts, and the girl is fine. Well, as he's resting there waiting for the paramedics to treat him, a politician comes up and says, hey, now that you've saved this girl, are you willing to support tax cuts or tax increases so that we can increase programs to prevent fire? Then a clergyman comes up to him and says, hey, listen, wouldn't your time be better spent saving souls eternally than saving them temporarily like you did right here? And then a social justice coordinator at a Catholic parish comes up and says, well, now that you've saved the girl, what are you going to do about her health care? What are you going to do about her college education? What are you going to do about making sure she can flourish at school? And the list goes on and on. Well, if somebody did that to Joe, this young man we'll call Joe, we would think they were nuts. And yet that's exactly what's being said to the pro-life movement today. And the basic argument comes down to this. Because you oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being in the womb, you are responsible to take on all kinds of other issues. Now, Todd, nobody else gets hit with this. Imagine a Christian ministry that opened an inner inner-city daycare center from 3 to 5 p.m. weekdays after school to help inner-city moms get home from their jobs, get dinner prepared, and have a little breathing space before all the kids show up. Would anybody go to that inner-city ministry and say, why aren't you open 24/7? What are you doing for kids on the weekend? And by the way, what are you doing for college kids and young adults? How come you're only caring about small children? Or as a colleague of mine put it, nobody ever hated on Mr. Rogers because he focused his efforts on toddlers and not on teenagers. And yet pro-lifers are getting ambushed and attacked simply because they don't take on every issue under the sun.
So it is in essence, we've got about a minute here before our break, it is in essence, if you were truly pro-life, you would want to do more about X, Y, and Z, or the list could go on.
Yeah, and what people are doing, specifically pro-life Christians, they're confusing my Christian ethic, which is broad and inclusive, with the operational objectives of the pro-life movement, which are narrow and focused. As a Christian, I care about sex trafficking, and I should do something about it. I care about the opiate crisis. I should do something about it. But it does not follow that the operational objectives of the pro-life movement must be broad and inclusive. And that's simply because, Todd, nobody is advocating that we make it legal to engage in sex trafficking. But it is legal in this country to intentionally kill innocent human beings. Of course, abortion isn't the only issue, but it is the dominant one.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He's president of Life Training Institute. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that dominant issue. There are those who say, look, okay, it's fine to be pro-life and want to protect the unborn, but of equal importance is X, Y, Z, and the list could go on. Is that true? Is the life of the unborn, well, as one former guest used to say, of a different caliber? We'll be right back.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
Oh, unborn child, if you only knew just what your mama was planning to do.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the evaluation of a new definition of pro-life that is making the rounds. Scott Klusendorf is our guest, president of Life Training Institute, author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture, a recent column for the Gospel Coalition titled, What Does It Mean to Be Pro-Life? And for Town Hall, called The Essential Pro-Life Argument, Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. You can meet and hear Scott Klusendorf making the case for life at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Early bird registration before March 1st is $110. That includes three meals. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Before the break, Scott, you said that abortion is, there are other issues besides abortion, no doubt about that, that Christians and people of goodwill ought to care and do something about, but abortion is paramount. Make the case for that.
Well, first of all, nobody is suggesting that it should be legal to starve people out on the street. Nobody is suggesting that sex trafficking ought to be legal. Nobody is suggesting that we ought to make drugs available to people at the opiate level with no restrictions, no government oversight. And yet when it comes to the unborn, it is legal and sometimes paid for with taxpayer money to intentionally kill them. And what happens is some well-intentioned Christians take a whole lot of other issues and lump them in with abortion and create a false moral equivalency. I have actually been at conferences where one of the keynote speakers was telling pro-lifers how they needed to be, quote, whole life, unquote, and this guy didn't even believe that abortion should be made illegal. He regretted abortion, but thought it would be wrong because of the consequences that would follow to make it illegal. And he's telling us how we ought to do this? In the Old Testament, Todd, God chose child sacrifice as a particularly egregious wrong to highlight. And entire civilizations were wiped out because they tolerated and practiced that legally. Imagine a Jew in the Old Testament saying, well, child sacrifice to the god Moloch is just one of many issues, and I don't want to get too narrow in my focus. I don't want to get myopic and only focus on that issue when there are other issues that certainly relate to life, and we don't want to ignore those. No, God said that that was particularly evil in his sight, and the intentional killing of human beings in the womb is like that today. And, as you said, it's true that abortion isn't the only issue, any more than slavery was the only issue in 1860, or the killing of Jews the only issue in 1940, but both were the dominant issues of their day.
Talk about this, the impact of something like this on the pro-life movement. I think it's not only, as you said, an attempt to kind of squander the resource of the pro-life movement. I think it's an attempt to divide the pro-life movement, because I have guests on this program who are Democrats and pro-life. I believe we talked to atheists who are pro-life.
Yes.
Part of the unifying power of keeping the main thing of the pro-life movement, that is the protection of the unborn and valuing life from beginning to end. Part of the unity there is that we don't say you can't be pro-life and be a fill in the blank.
Yeah, and that's the headline you get a lot of today from well-intentioned people. It'll say something like, I saw an article, you can't be pro-life and not work to end poverty. You can't be pro-life and be against gun control. I mean, the list goes on and on. And what we need to do as pro-lifers is recognize what this whole life change of definition does to the pro-life effort in the real world. So Todd, what are pro-lifers now to do? Are we supposed to spend Monday fighting abortion and Tuesday fighting the opiate crisis, Wednesday fighting sex trafficking, Thursday fighting immigration reform? I think you get the idea here. This would bankrupt the pro-life movement, especially when there are Christians with larger platforms and bigger budgets that dwarf those available to the pro-life movement, who are more than willing to take on these other issues. I can point to Christian conferences for young adults, evangelical conferences, with up to 50,000 people present at them. And there's a huge desire to talk about sex trafficking, but there's zero passion to talk about abortion. And at those conferences, you have people with huge budgets and huge platforms addressing these other issues. So why does the pro-life movement have to take its scarce resources and now spread them even thinner, fighting things that other people are more than willing to take on?
And we probably should point out that, at least in terms of strategy, the pro-choice movement or the pro-abortion movement, NARAL, Pro-Choice America, Planned Parenthood, they have no problem keeping their focus on what they believe the main thing is, which is taking as many lives as they possibly can.
Exactly. And what's happening here is this, quote, whole life, unquote, definition is twisting the definition of pro-life from protection of life in the womb to quality of life outside the womb. And that is simply unworkable philosophically and in the real world.
I once talked with Richard John Newhouse, and he was a Roman Catholic who happened to believe things like, well, if you're consistently pro-life, you will also be against the death penalty. But I asked him a question, what about those two issues together? And he says, look, if forced to choose between the two, I have to choose the unborn, because that is of an entirely different moral caliber. What do you make of that response?
Well, he was making a distinction that the whole life advocates aren't making, and Newhouse was a very bright guy. He was pointing out that according to Catholic Church teaching, abortion is an intrinsic evil and must always be opposed because it involves the intentional killing of an innocent human being. The death penalty, however, is a contingent evil, not an intrinsic one, and it may or may not be okay depending on the circumstances. And what Newhouse was saying is, hey, listen, not all these issues are morally equivalent. And when you read, as I've read, one evangelical, who calls himself an evangelical pastor, claims that someone getting a living wage is a pro-life issue. Look, if you believe that somebody getting a bigger paycheck is morally equivalent to preventing someone from being dismembered, your moral compass is broken. And I fear that's what we're seeing.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest. We'll have a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break. We're evaluating a proposed new definition of pro-life. He is president of Life Training Institute. We will take up that issue of the moral compass and keeping it focused where it ought to be in protecting the unborn right after this.
Does this make you satisfied? I don't know what's happening to people today. Child, he was taken away.
Well, I think one thing we're going to do right out of the gate is define what pro-life is.
Scott Klusendorf talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That term is now being confused. It's being put up for grabs, and we're going to make clear what the pro-life syllogism is, how we can make that case for life with people who don't accept biblical authority, who maybe don't even know what it is we stand for, and are subject to being confused. So there's a crying need to clarify what pro-life means, what our actual arguments are, and then we'll look at five bad ways people argue against the pro-life case in the public square so that we can be prepared to give good, solid, Christ-honoring answers.
You can meet and hear Scott Klusendorf making the case for life at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Learn more about conference speakers and topics and register at issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
I paid for the murder before they determined the sex. Choosing our life over your life meant your death. And you never got a chance to even open your eyes. Sometimes I wonder as a fetus, if you fought for your life, would you have been a little genius? In love with
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're evaluating a proposed new definition of pro-life. Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute is our guest. Scott, I want you to kind of do what you have often done here, and that is put forth what you call the pro-life syllogism. What is it?
That syllogism can be stated in under a minute, and it goes like this. Premise one, it's wrong to intentionally kill innocent human beings. Premise two, abortion intentionally kills an innocent human being. Conclusion, therefore, abortion's wrong. It's wrong to intentionally kill innocent human beings. Abortion does that. Therefore, it's wrong. And the beauty of that, Todd, is it keeps the main thing the main thing. Again, as Christians, we're going to have a wider ethic. We're going to deal with many issues, not just abortion. What we're talking about here, though, is the attempt to hijack the definition of what pro-life is, change it to quote, whole life, unquote. And the problem with that is we are now twisting pro-life to mean quality of life for those outside the womb rather than protection of life for those inside. And by sticking to our syllogism, we keep the main thing the main thing.
Should people who want to make the essence of the definition of pro-life just what you said, that simple syllogism, abortion is wrong for that reason, should they be prepared to be called hypocrites by fellow pro-lifers?
Yeah, they should, and they should just refuse to buy the premise. Typically, what happens is the pro-lifer says, oh, we do care. And by the way, we do. Pro-life pregnancy centers outnumber abortion clinics well over 2-1 in this country. And we know for a fact that pro-life conservatives give an awful lot to charity. They are very generous people. So it's factually untrue, but I wouldn't even go there immediately. I would just reject the premise and say to my critic, how does it follow that because I oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being, that I am therefore responsible for all of societal ills? Make them defend that claim that they're implicitly making in their attack.
Is this just the same thing that we've been hearing for decades from the pro-choice community, that if you're really pro-life, you wouldn't only try and prevent the abortion, you would adopt the child and raise them and send them to college and see them off for the rest of their life?
Well, what's different is we've now got people on our side that are hitting us from the inside with this attack. In fact, there's one major pro-life organization, a pregnancy care ministry, that does excellent work on many fronts. But they recently adopted this idea that what we need to do is not just be pro-life, but be pro-abundant life. And here's what they mean by that. We must, as pro-lifers, not only work to end abortion, but listen to how they define this. Quote, programmatically, unquote, help others, quote, build strong families, have healthy marriages, be better parents, have thriving faith lives, promote responsible fatherhood. And my question is, how is that even possible? You just saddled the pro-life movement with a back-breaking job description not even Superman could take on. I've got a better, easier way to approach this that I think is more in line with what we see in Scripture, where we see the emphasis being placed on the immediate, crucial need at hand. The Good Samaritan didn't solve all of life's ills. He dealt with the victim in front of him. So what I think pro-lifers need to do is, number one, we need to advocate for the unborn legally. Number two, we need to support the important work of crisis pregnancy centers across this country. Our listeners, every one of us, need to be involved, getting behind them, supporting them financially, volunteering our time. Thirdly, we need to convey an essential case for life based on the humanity of the unborn and the inhumanity of abortion. That means getting in front of Catholic and Protestant high schools and making pro-life apologetics presentations. It also means that we convey an essential pro-life gospel to those wounded by abortion. We say to them that the way we deal with abortion is not to hide it, not to minimize it. What we do is we say what it is, the intentional killing of an innocent human being, and here's the remedy for that sin, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that saves. And I think if we hit those four objectives, we will be doing what's essential to this movement.
Well, you have written elsewhere, of course, abortion isn't the only issue any more than slavery was the only issue in 1860 or the killing of the Jews the only issue in 1940, but both were the dominant issues of their day. What are you saying?
I am saying that it's true that as Christians, we will take on more than one issue. But what Christians must do first and foremost is prioritize. That's what we see in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan did not say, you know what, I'm on my way to help refugees down in Jericho. I think I'll just let this one guy be while I go down to help them. No, he stopped and dealt with the immediate need in front of him because it was the most pressing need that he was confronted with. And with abortion, like I said earlier, we don't have people advocating to make sex trafficking legal. We don't have them advocating to make it legal to put drugs in the hands of young students. I know there's people who want to legalize pot, but nobody wants to just legalize everything wholesale with no constraints at all. And yet with abortion, what we've got are people that support and want it to remain legal to intentionally kill these innocent human beings. That is the dominant issue of our day, just like killing Jews was the dominant issue in 1940 and enslaving blacks was the dominant issue in 1860.
So clarify for us one more time here, Scott. What do you think is the ultimate goal, if not intentional, perhaps even the unintentional goal, of the attempt to broaden the definition from pro-life to whole life?
On the critic side, those on the left, they want to bankrupt and immobilize the pro-life movement by saddling it with a job description that will sink it. On our side, you have very well-intentioned people who make a good point. They say, listen, Jesus cared for all marginalized people, not just a few, so should we. And they're correct. As Christians, we should care for all marginalized people. Nobody disputes that. But it doesn't follow, and here's where our friendly critics, our in-house critics, are making the mistake. It doesn't follow that because as Christians we take on a broader agenda, that the operational objectives of our pro-life efforts must be broad and inclusive. And it's their failure to distinguish between operational objectives and broader Christian duty that is the big problem here.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute, author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. A recent column for the Gospel Coalition titled, What Does It Mean to Be Pro-Life? And for Town Hall, The Essential Pro-Life Argument, Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. You could read these columns and purchase The Case for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scott, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Holly Shear of The Federalist. There is a recent attempt by some of the Me Too movement to call for the impeachment of a Supreme Court justice. Who would that be? It would be Clarence Thomas. Why? Well, because of, they say, charges that were brought against him during his confirmation hearing 27 years ago. They say it's time for him to be brought down. Well, what are the quality of those charges, and how is it that this attempt is going to only hurt the credibility of the Me Too movement? We'll find out from Holly Shear, author of a recent column for The Federalist, attempting another hit job on Clarence Thomas only hurts Me Too's credibility. Then Pastor Will Whedon joins us. On this day, the church is remembering a man who stood as a giant in the first century church on the very heels of the apostles, and he's known best for the manner of his death, Polycarp of Smyrna. First century bishop and martyr. We'll remember him with Pastor Will Whedon in the last few minutes of Issues, Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Memoria Press now offers six levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Gates of Hell.